Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Greatest. I am Megan Gailey, joined by my co-host and husband, CJ Toledano. Today, I only had the first part worked out in my brain.
Well, okay. So today we have an awesome guest. We have a fun topic over.
You've got nothing you want to say to me?
No, I was going to. This is a lead up. I was going to say your father, an avid listener, your parents are avid listeners of the show, and he complimented how I introduce the show, how I roll it into the show.
That's why I was trying to do it really well.
You're trying to make your dad proud?
I was trying to do it. My dad is proud of me, okay. But I was trying to do it really, like, professional, but then I didn't have anything past your name planned out. So that's why when I said today, I was like, oh, no, we don't go into the topic, and we're not right into the guest. And, you know, I messed up.
Honestly, it's episode by episode whether either of us has a nice, smooth intro. I would have said, how are you doing?
Oh, okay. How are you doing, my dog?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know how I'm doing. I know how you're doing. We
haven't really talked today.
No, I mean, today has just been silly. I want to bring in our guest and then
we'll
catch up.
Done with his wife.
No. We'll catch up. I just want Joe because Joe is waiting patiently. I'm excited that he's here. You may know Joe, very, very funny comedian. We came up
we
with
know so many
in
Joes.
Chicago.
Which
so many
Joe
Joes.
Could it be?
Which Joe could it be? You may know him from his Comedy Central half hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Quazzala.
Hello.
Wow.
Hi.
Joe Quazzala.
Joe, I mean, you're on this show earlier than I thought you'd be.
Yeah. I can't believe you had to go to me this early.
No, we didn't have to go to you. Okay.
Well, who canceled?
Nobody canceled. I actually wanted you, and I had two topics that I pitched to CJ to pitch to you, and then
it
was reported back to me that you said no.
No, he did not. I kept it open for him.
I thought I had landed on what would be a pretty funny topic, but I guess it was narrower than I anticipated.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, this show can come together at the last second sometimes, and I was texting you as we were going to sleep, and so I was just like, whatever, Joe, whatever you want. And Megan, because Megan had suggested greatest national anthems, and I think I suggested like athletes who attempted musical careers, and you said songs written. This is the original topic. Songs written about sports teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I don't know. From my experience in the places that I've lived, there have been a lot of cheesy songs written for. Like I grew up in Pittsburgh, and there is a very awful but ubiquitous song, especially anytime they get close to like going to the Super Bowl, called Here We Go. And it's by some dude who's not like a musician, and he just like he recorded it, and then but it like it blew up, and it like
and it's for the Steelers specifically.
Joe is frozen. And he's frozen in a spot where it looked like he was thinking about it.
You're back. Okay. So, this song was written specifically for the Steelers.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was written like in 95 when they went to the Super Bowl for like the first time since the 80s.
Robbing the Colts.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Was that
I don't
a Colts
remember that.
A man ran out of bounds and then came back in and caught. Like, part of the reason we have replay now is because. Because that ended up deciding who was going to the Super Bowl, and they were like, we can't have that. And so it's not the song like, here we go again down that road. It's not that
one. No, it's not the Whitesnake song.
That's a classic. But
it's a dude with a thick Pittsburgh accent. He just recorded it like at some studio. He probably paid like $200. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so popular. The song, it's here we go. Steelers, here we go.
Yes.
Pittsburgh's going to the city.
And I do know that one.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why there was a lot of discussion back and forth. And you sent us a link that was like, the greatest songs written for each NFL team.
I think that article was like, the guy just looked for like the weirdest songs he could find. That maybe wasn't the best resource.
It's valid what you were talking about for sure. And also,
you're from a market that has more pride than
I mean, that's all they have in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Like they all the songs they listen to are about the Steelers.
What's funny about that song is, Joe, I know exactly what song you're talking about.
Because it was everywhere. Well, yeah, you're from Western PA.
Well, so yeah. So it was everywhere where we grew up.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's the thing is, but I also thought it was a generic song. So I thought there was in my head, and I never ventured to find out, but I was like, oh, yeah, there's probably in Megan's hometown, Indianapolis. Here we go. Colts. Here we go. I just thought, like, because the only place I was hearing music was on the bus, the bus radio. So,
well, I would have assumed that every market had their own, like, some jagoff like made a song and then it got played on the radio because everybody was excited.
I'm sure, but not as catchy as "Here We Go, Team."
It's so bad. The guy's not a singer. It's a very weird, but it sold like 100,000 copies. And he updates it
copies
like every
of what?
Year.
Up the music,
like cassettes.
And who do you think he voted for?
I guarantee you he's dead because he spent his fortune from the millions of copies.
No,
incorrectly.
He updates it every year. He updates it with, like, obviously the original one, like, referred to, like,
the year,
you know,
the team,
power,
the players. Gotcha.
Power was like a big. Mm-hmm. Rhyme for that dude.
I wonder if he's updating it just to signal to his ex-wife, like, I'm still alive. You know, like, if you want to come back,
you want some of this here we go money.
His song this year would be very sad, I think. I mean,
yeah, I think
one of the most embarrassing losses in playoff history.
Yeah, I think he does it at the beginning of the season before he can really comment on anything that happens.
If he was following up this with, like, all right, I got to think of a Christmas song. Here we go, Santa. Here we go. And so everything was big events coming up. Let's see if I can drop it in the here we go template.
I mean, yeah, that's very clearly his thing. Like, that dude's not doing anything else with his life.
And we all met in Chicago, and they do have, like,
go Cubs, go.
Go Cubs, go.
Yeah. Hey, similar. Chicago,
what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today. Okay.
Before or after Steelers? Here we go, Steelers, you think?
I think it's better. I think it's, like, more
famous. That's a real song. Like, that was written by a guy who was a real musician. You know, and, like,
he phoned that in, though. It's very simple.
For sure. I mean, it's very simple, but at the very least, it was, like, produced. Like, the Steelers song, it was just a dude, like, plugging in things in the studio.
I don't want to speak poorly on people we grew up with, but very much in line for what people are successful for in Pittsburgh and Western PA.
Yeah, right. Obviously, the elevation of cities alone from there to Chicago, you would expect. But the number one I was going to pick was one of my favorite things, sports or not sports, music, whatever, is Scott Stapp from Creed wrote a song for the Marlins.
What was that?
It sounds like a joke. Like, my description of it sounds like a joke, and then you listen to it and you're like, this is a joke, but it's real.
And does it, like, have religious undertones?
Well, it is so devoid of any undertone. Oh. He's literally just being like, one strike, two strikes. Bringing my bat. Some of the actual lyrics are, we watch strikeouts, base hits, double plays.
Describing the
Marlins
game.
Don't, I, correct me if I'm wrong. I think, like, Florida baseball is, like, void of fans. Like, that's not even, the Marlins don't even have a fan base, really, to cling to that.
Well, someone must have been mad.
Wow.
It's really a diving catch,
I feel like
a stolen base.
There and James Taylor, as we were doing this, James Taylor wrote a song for the Red Sox. That's also like the second line is like the Bambino, so it's like pretty, and it sounds just like a James Taylor song would. So now I feel like we've let you down.
Yeah, that
Joe,
episode actually sounds kind of fun.
I'm glad that you got out the ones that
you do. You have any more?
To.
I mean, the Super Bowl Shuffle is like the big one. Yeah. Like, that actually, you know, it charted. Mm-hmm. You know, it was so big, and that's such a goofy song.
Yeah.
And when I was looking up the Super Bowl Shuffle, I found out that the year before, I guess the 49ers did a song similar. Like, the guys on the team sang a little song.
Yeah, I mean,
say let's bring that trend back.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, there's been, like, parodies of the Super Bowl Shuffle, but has there been any sort of like recent any team taking a stab at producing a song?
No, and they're
like
all
themselves.
They all like have really good now that celebrations are allowed in the NFL, they do like choreographed dances or like very fun homages to things. Like, I think the creativity is there to do it. We just got to get these guys in the studio. So that is that's our plea, is professional athletes, we need more of you in the studio.
Why didn't you pitch that at the Pistons, CJ?
I don't know. Who knows what I pitched at the Pistons?
Well, that's why I was so sad that Victor Oladipo got traded, because it's like, listen, there's a lot of all-star basketball players. There's very few that also have voices of angels.
Well,
you know,
the thing is, about the Super Bowl shuffle, I wasn't listening to it because it was a good song. Like, songs can chart for irony.
Yeah, I don't think in the 80s, though, I don't think it was irony.
No, I don't think so either.
I thought it was just the age of, and I still wish this was a thing. I think it would make a lot of money, especially now, is that like there was either a kiosk or a room where you and your friends could record music videos and just, there's like a box of props and costumes. Like, don't know how that went out of style, but when the pandemic comes back, maybe I'll open up a shop where we do that.
You come in and cut your own track?
Yeah, and it just seemed like the Bears were maybe walking in the mall of whatever city the Super Bowl was in and then made that.
Yeah.
Probably not the
I think part of it was just they were just so, so famous. Like, there were so many characters on that team that that's what propelled, you know, obviously wasn't the quality of the song.
Or the dancing. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the dancing is so good now, and the dancing in the Super Bowl shuffle is so bad that I think we could get a better song. Especially like LA has two teams. We've got all the labels out here. I mean, New York has two teams. That's four teams that have a lot of talent in their cities. Come on. The Jets, this is what the Jets need to turn the organization around. They need a new coach. They maybe need a new quarterback, but they need a damn song. Wow.
I think that's that is what will turn it around. I was bummed that they started winning games. I'll say that.
Who's that?
They were bummed too.
The Jets, the fans were bummed.
Yes. The players were happy, but the fans were sad.
Joe, and I guess that's a good segue into how much sports are you watching these days? Well, just because, and you've been doing it, you've been saying some sports stuff in our text messages.
For sure.
Oh.
But you did grow up in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, and like...
You went to Notre Dame.
You went to Notre Dame.
I know.
Dame.
I've always been surrounded by sports despite being very ambivalent. Like... You know, I don't hate sports by any means, but it's just not the way I spend my time. But like when you grow up in Pittsburgh, you cannot escape it. Like it's doesn't matter what time of year, the first story on the evening news is going to be about the Steelers.
Whoa.
It could be the middle of summer. And like I knew just going to school. Like there were, I mean, like a lot of my sports connection was just when I was a kid, like the clothes I wore.
Yeah. I was going to bring it up somehow, but when I stayed at your childhood home, I stayed in, this is on just like a road gig. And I stayed with your family and I went to bed looking at a picture of you wearing a Grant Hill jersey.
Wow.
And knowing everything about you at the point, I was like, why is he wearing that jersey?
It's like that thing when you're, because that was from like fourth grade or something.
Yeah.
When you're like a kid and you just want to be cool or you want to wear the things that everybody else is wearing. And people were wearing jerseys, like football and basketball. And so I had a Grant Hill, a Pistons jersey. And I had a Lakers jersey. And I think it might have been Shaq, but I couldn't tell you. And then I had a Dolphins football jersey.
You didn't have anything Pittsburgh.
No, I love it.
No,
it really fits who you are. I feel like you've always pushed against
I had a Boomer Esiason football jersey, which was just a very strange one, but I had it. Maybe it must have been on sale.
Well, these are all good looking jerseys for sure. Because the Boomer one would have been like a Green Eagles or did he play?
I think it was white in my recollection.
Okay.
Did you go to any Notre Dame sporting events while you were there? Football, basketball, volleyball?
When I was a freshman, like they kind of, even in like the orientation, I remember one of the kids in the dorm was like going to a Fighting Irish home football game is going to be the greatest experience of your life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, oh, this must be like really cool. Like, and I got tickets for the season the way like everybody does. Mm-hmm. And as a freshman, I was like, all right, let's go. I hated it. Wow. I hated it so much because it was like in the student section, you are It just felt like this is how Hitler came to power. Like everyone that just like in this extreme. mob mentality
uh-huh.
and like everyone's like literally moving their arms in the same direction unison. It creeped me out. And also like I wanted to like joke around and like be kind of silly and stuff. And Notre Dame fans are so fucking serious about everything. And like people are in tears and people are so mad when something goes wrong. I just felt like there was no levity. And I was like, well, this isn't for me.
Well, I feel like Notre Dame this year, this season has been one of the biggest examples. Well, Alabama maybe topped it, but with COVID out there, it was after a crazy game. They stormed the field and it's just like, that really shows you the importance
priorities
to Notre Dame football fans that they're that was clear. Yeah.
You can see it in their eyes. You could see it back. I could see back in 2005 in their eyes that like if there was a national pandemic going on, the first thing that they would care about more than anything else is this football game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was never mad at them because it's like, the dean, the priest man, he got COVID being at the White House.
Yeah, and then Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation.
If you have college age kids at a game, you've already failed. You know, like that then it's bad already. It's already bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was on those crazy people's side.
Real quickly, you also, I don't know. I don't know if we should bring this up, but your roommate, I don't know if you want to burn material on this podcast, but your roommate, which I forgot you when I first met you, some of your early bits were about your football playing player roommate who was
my roommate as a freshman was a defensive tackle. So he was a huge dude.
Yeah, that's Terrell. My type. Okay.
And
yeah.
He was 6'4", 320 pounds, like a big guy. I loved him. He was great, but he was a very silly man. I remember he had used my laptop for some reason, and I came back and I just saw he just searched the word basketball.
I mean, he's not wrong. I'm with
which you have done for sure, CJ. Well,
usually,
but I just remember.
Like, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, I just remember laughing. And I think I gave him shit for it. Like, it wasn't like, you know, because we had a good relationship. And I was like, did you want to see a picture?
No, it's more embarrassing than porn. Just the word basketball.
I'm so shocked that they didn't have, like, maybe he was truly an odd number on the football team. Because usually they put them with other football players.
Oh,
or at
no.
least
I
with,
mean, they
other
no, no,
athletes,
because no,
their schedule is very intense.
It's different and intense. Yeah. No, I mean there were a bunch of football players in my dorm who lived with non football players.
That's
like
crazy.
My cousin was on the team, and he lived with, I don't know, CJ, if you remember, you probably don't, my friend Joe Wong. He came to Chicago once. Mm-hmm. At any rate. That's cut that out. Edit that out.
Hey Joe Wong.
Shout out Joe Wong for coming to Chicago that one time and not making an impression on me.
Should we?
Yeah, let's take a break. And then let me just check this connection here. So let's take a break. All right, and we are back, and we are now into the premise portion of our podcast.
I love the premise.
Usually we say the topic before we go to break.
Yeah, but I really stumbled into a break.
So I just, Dad, I would have done that differently, just for the record. I would have been like, and today's topic is going to be, I forget how we're even phrasing it. Shit, damn it, this is what happened.
Can I do it?
Yeah, the only person who's professional.
Yeah, as I understood, we were going to do the greatest stadium songs.
Yeah, stadium like pump up, songs. Like associated with sports.
Yeah, like songs that that get the crowd going at the stadium.
I mean,
that would be in jock jams.
I mean, that like all I want is jock jams all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
I love jock jams. Like, growing up, all we did was make up dances to jock jams. We would get like jock jams one or jock jams. I don't even know what they were numbered. And yeah, the songs didn't even end. They just like went into another jock jam. And yeah, we put that puppy on in my friend Maggie Daniels' TV room and we'd make up dances all night. Oh, it was fun. Gosh. All right, Joe, since you're our guest, you are going to kick us off with your number three pick for greatest stadium, Jock Jam, sporty song.
And we'll do it in descending order. So you'll
pick
told
him number three.
Okay, cool.
So I have to put this one at number, I feel like I had to include it, but I have conflicting feelings about including it because of the person who made it. But I think it has to be on there, which is Rock and Roll Part 2.
Great pick.
Which is by convicted pedophile Gary Glitter.
Oh, no.
No, but this is the show. I mean, it's a perfect pick because people need to know the backstory about this, which I think our group is kind of obsessed about. First of all, part two is the most famous.
Right. Yeah. There's a part one that no one has heard. But
yeah,
someone flipped the record over and found this. It really is like a perfect, it's almost like primal. It's like a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have any words, which I think is in a Jock Jam's favor, in a stadium song's favor. And the only words it has are words that you can sing along to, that you know exactly what it is. You know, hey.
Hey.
I wonder if we'll get sued for this.
No, because I think if we're singing it, they're going to be like, that sounds bad.
Well, they might sue us for making it sound bad. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
or even worse,
hey.
We'll have to pay Gary Glitter. It's why you don't hear that song that much anymore, is because people were like, hey, we need to stop paying all these royalties to this pedophile. He almost got killed by firing squad in Vietnam.
Yeah. But because the most recent example...
I was just going to say, the reason I said the firing squad thing is that was the potential...
Punishment
in Vietnam, because he had... you know, molested a girl in Vietnam.
And how long was before?
And was he a soldier? What was he doing there?
No, I think he maybe was fleeing the law.
Okay.
Where he had,
I was thinking like a John McCain, he got captured and then there was a firing squad, but this is he was just there on vacay.
Yeah, and, he was looking for some strength.
No, this is so bad.
But we talk about how forbidden the song is, but it was in Joker. It was a major scene in Joker.
I know. I feel like that was maybe an intentional move, because that whole movie's
cancel
like
culture.
An edgelord, whatever, man.
Wow. Well, that's a great first pick.
Todd really showed us, didn't he? That is first pick. And I hope it's the only pedophile that we feature on this episode, but I don't know. I haven't really
done
the research.
I haven't, I've done, on my list, this is it. You want me to go next, honey?
Yeah.
Okay. So for my number three pick, I'm going real Homer, Bang the Drum All Day.
By Todd Rundgren. Oh,
yes. Okay. So this was the song that the Colts played after every single touchdown. And so when I hear it, it like endorphins. Like my brain truly is just like, you're happy, you're happy, you're happy. I can like see the flag going. Doing research of this, I found out it is also the song played at Lambeau after the Packers score. So I'm guessing the Colts stole this. and then the Bengals used it for a while. The St. Louis Rams used it as their touchdown song during their season that they won the Super Bowl. And the Colts don't even use this song anymore. Now they use the Black Keys' Gold on the Ceiling.
A good pick. But I mean, the Bang the Drum is also just like, it's silly.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
It's a good trailer song.
So it was, CJ, you'll love this. It was in the opening of the VHS of Shrek.
Yeah. It's perfect Shrek energy. It is.
Absolutely. Why is it sporty, though? I mean, just because it's so like...
It almost sounds like a little... Like, it's not... It's an organ. Like, I think that might have something to do with it. It's like an organ is a very stadium instrument.
It just captures the feeling to me. I mean, and that's why I said it's a trailer song. It really is like, what is happening in the scene? I want to bang on it. Like, I don't want to do any work. You know, yeah, so it's
kids taking
off.
Over the school. Yeah. It's, you know, it's the silliest thing. And Todd Rundgren is like a very accomplished artist too. This is by far the silliest song in his catalog.
Yeah.
And he's like a very accomplished producer and he has like a lot of really great, credible work. But it is funny that he has this one song.
Well, that's a great reason to point it out because a lot of these people that I'm going to name at least are one hit wonders. They like struck gold and they're like, I'm out of here or I wasn't really a good musician to begin with.
On this song's Wikipedia page, it does say that it was used in a Carnival Cruise Line commercial.
Oh, yes. That was that commercial was played a lot.
Rundgren was quoted as saying he got a ridiculous amount of money to use it.
I'm
so
sure.
I'm happy for him. And Carnival Cruise Line, probably bankrupt now. But they, I mean, I don't know. Would you get on it? Well, I'm sure. No.
The Ad Wizards.
Plenty of people who would.
Yeah. There, I was like, would you? I'm like, oh, I forgot where we live. Of course, people are flooding to Carnival cruises right now.
It worked on me. I always think about those advertising execs because my work is kind of in line with it. But just like, so the idea is this song that that everyone really enjoys and it just becomes the commercial.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's probably a round of clearance where they can't get their first choice or they have to do this or that.
How about this bang the drum song?
But it makes me feel happy. So that's why it's my number three.
I feel it in my shoulders. I want to like not call in sick to work for the rest of the week. All right. My number three pick is I like this song because it's very direct as to the actions that are happening in the game. It is na na na. It's hard to not sing it. It's na na, hey, kiss him goodbye by Steam.
Okay.
And I was trying to find some cool Gary Glitter story behind. I was hoping for some.
That's not a cool story.
No, not cool, but like, yeah.
Interesting.
I needed some controversy or some drama, some history. Not much. Came out in 1969 by a band called Steam. Again, was also looking through the members to see if there was anything else. But it just is like a classic song because I think it's played a lot when like ejections happen or when hockey players are sent to the penalty box or as a team is losing in the playoffs or being eliminated. Also in the Wikipedia, and this is truly speaks to what you can just put on Wikipedia, it's noted as what people sang in the streets when Trump lost the election. It's just like, what?
No, we were singing fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah, like
that's what was happening in our neighborhood.
And even that's not like a fact you should put on Wikipedia.
I love this song. Yeah. I do not like it in the sports context because whenever I always see like angry, weird white fans, was describing as the Notre Dame student section. I see like Duke kids like screaming this at a 20-year-old who's not getting paid to play basketball.
Okay.
So
it's aggressive.
For some reason, it like reeks of privilege to me because it's always fans being like, bye. And it's like, you're a fucking loser. You're in the, in the stadium
you've accomplished
watching
nothing.
Me. But I do love the song. And if I got to like wave goodbye to like a, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger, like a truly villainous person, then I would like it.
Yeah. It's also a song that you can utilize in like playing sports with your friends. Like everybody can jump in on that without having to actually play the song.
Yeah. It's like, if you had like your own Sandlot, like you're singing it or you're waving goodbye.
Yeah. That's like a fun unifying activity.
So let's take, or should we just keep
let's
going?
Rolling. So far, we're up to $1 million, but we're going to get sued for
of
singing
licensing.
Popular songs.
Maybe we'll get fired.
No, stop.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. If you guys don't hear us ever again, we got fired because we sang Bang the Drum all day too much. Okay, Joe, give us your number two pick.
Okay. My number two pick is a song that I had to look up the name of it because I think it's a song that only can be played in stadiums, which is makes it a good stadium. To play it outside of a stadium, I think would be weird.
Yeah.
But it's the song Kernkraft 400 by Zombie Nation.
What?
That's the song that's
that gets me hyped. So right at the beginning, right before tip off, that is when you hear that, you're running to your seat.
Yeah, the spotlights are like circling the stadium.
And what is it called again?
Yeah, how did you find this?
The song is called Kernkraft 400.
Stop saying it in like an SNL character voice.
Like, like I'm Dieter.
Yeah. And then, so what's
the song? It's called Kernkraft 400. It's by a DJ named Zombie Nation.
Wow. Okay, cool. And do they? Does Zombie Nation have any other hits?
Absolutely not.
Kernkraft 100. And yeah. Then do it. And then the fourth one is at Kernkraft.
This is the fourth model of Kernkraft.
But yeah, no, you're right. I you don't hear that anywhere else, and we should use it in something.
It's like I think it would be jarring. Or if you can imagine, you're just like hanging out in your house just listening to that song casually.
No, it's a great one.
It's an ultimate like pump up song, and I feel like so many across the globe, like it's popular in soccer, it's popular in football, it's popular in every sport,
but nowhere else. Like, you're not going to hear that at the Oscars. You know, like it's only sports. I've never heard it anywhere else.
And the Oscar goes to Cate Blanchett.
Why don't they do that? They got to do that.
Well, we got to EP the Oscars.
And then they should go up on a Zamboni to accept it.
Because, they would play that at high school games too. Like,
yes.
Pep rallies. Yeah. And I guess, that's out of a stadium. But what year did it come out? Is there any history behind it?
It's like 99.
Wow. So yeah, if I would have guessed, I would have been like in the 70s or 80s.
I mean, it definitely has like, it's very much a techno song, you know? And so it has the trappings of that era, you know, we're like in a post-Moby era.
Post-Moby like, era, we're living in a post-Moby era.
Techno is, you know, and techno in the clubs and stuff was like big. It's probably, especially in Europe where this dude is from. Zombie Nation, of course, I'm referring
Zombie
to.
Zombie Nation, yeah.
It is Richard Zombie
Nation.
But yeah, it's again a song I think most people, including myself, before like a few minutes ago, did not know the name.
Can we go back? I want to riff more on the pre-Moby, post-Moby era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's like so, pre-9/11, post-9/11, but I actually, for me, it's pre and post.
Pre-Moby, post-Moby. You know, everybody had hair before, and then Moby showed us you could be vegan, you could be bald, and you could still be famous.
Yeah, but you can also be really fucking annoying to Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was that story he asked her?
He was like, we dated. And she was like, we did not.
He was like, you bothered me a bunch when I was like 16.
Yeah, you fucking weirdo. Okay, put him in the Gary Glitter. Or what's his name? Gilbert Glitter.
Gilbert Glitter.
Gilbert Glitter. Yeah, Gary Glitter.
Gilbert's who did part one, and he's fine. He's okay.
So I'm going to listen to all of these after this. Okay, CJ, Joe, you ready for mine?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm just going to give you one word, and you're going to know what it is. Whoop.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you.
Tag team, back again.
Was that one of yours, CJ?
No, but you know I've been talking about this.
Have you been talking about Whoop? There it
well,
is.
Well, yeah, because of the commercial that is taking the world by storm once again. Scoop, there it is.
Oh, Scoop. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Okay, yes. So, and those are the guys. Tag team.
Back at it again. The first line of that song. The first line of that song is "Tag Team, Back Again." It is their first single.
Yeah, and they are considered one hit wonders.
Oh, absolutely.
But
nothing comes close.
But one of the guys, his name DC, the Brain Supreme Glenn, was the main DJ at Magic City in Atlanta.
Oh wow!
Yeah, currently, so another sports tie-in.
Okay.
And then the other guy's name is Steve Roland Gibson, and this was it for them. Whoop! There it is. I mean, but it was it was huge. It like set records for how long it was on the Billboard Top 10. It was a massive hit. Is definitely considered like one of the greatest stadium anthems of all time. And now they're back with Scoop. There it is. And I'm happy.
Thank God. When we needed them the most.
Well, I like laughed when I first saw them in the Geico commercial. And then, like I said, I think I tweeted out the other day. I was like, I kind of think Scoop, There It is better than the original. It just makes more sense. And they look happy. And so I'm wondering, like, they made probably millions from the first single. And then they toured, they did halftime shows. They did, like, corporate events where, you know, they're singing Tag Team is like, and now introducing Tag Team, and you and your like, and Karen are like cheering and going, woo, Tag Team's here.
Atlanta Magazine called it the bomb party song. And I think that's correct.
What more do you have to say?
Official?
From the paper of record.
Did you know that the Addams Family did a remix?
Yep.
Addams Family, woo.
Yeah, someone also replied to my tweet about that. Now I'm wondering what I do with my time. When I leave this earth, will I be happy with what I do with
but
my
see
time?
The, but like, I'm going to make a cut of this. And the next time we're in an argument, I'm going to play that back to you. Because you're like, I'm busy. And then I'm just going to play back you being like, I don't even know what I do with my time.
Yeah, well, it's listening to the Adam's Family version of Whoop, There It Is. And also, people say Whoop, There It Is. It's Megan, whoop. You're right. It's Whoop.
It's Whoop. There is a Whoop, There It Is, I think.
No.
Let me look it up. Keep
that. That's a lawsuit.
That's a lawsuit. And what do you call it again, Megan? It comes up a lot on this.
Cheater brand.
Cheater brand. It's a cheater brand. It's probably not even the right way to use that. But
no, yeah, it is just Whoop. But maybe what I was thinking is, yeah, people think it's Whoop, There It Is.
Yeah, and they're wrong. Whoop. We're here to correct
now you. Now you know. Okay, CJ, you're number two.
Okay, my number two is my classic Chicago Bulls pick of every episode, and it's Sirius mm-hmm. by the Alan Parsons Project.
Great pick.
Can you sample a little bit of that
yeah,
for us?
Yeah, near, near, near.
Oh. Yeah. Very.
It's the Bulls intro theme.
Yeah, very tech.
You know, in picking this, I was like, oh, I got to find some nuggets about it. It's interesting is that a wrestler in the 80s, it came out in the early 80s, and a wrestler, his name is, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He was using it as his intro for a while. And then a Bull, and then I think some other sports teams used it, but most famously the Bulls, and that was because Tommy Edwards, the announcer for the Bulls at the time, decided to use it. And it was obviously, it charted, I think, because of just the 90s Bulls were so famous.
And this is a pre-Moby era.
This is pre-Moby era. Pre-Moby. I mean, this probably existed during Moby, but yeah.
The Alan Parsons Project. And this song was written because he wanted the first song of his album to be this song called Eye in the Sky, but he was like, this needs some sort of intro. We need to ramp up into it. And so then he wrote Sirius.
So this is the intro to Eye in the Sky, essentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Alan Parsons, is he...
He looks weird. I mean, when you think of like anthem songs and then you see him, you're like, oh, well, that's a departure.
But did he have
Alan Parsons? They had Eye in the Sky was one of the big ones. Games People Play is another song from the Alan Parsons Project. But really, Alan Parsons' biggest thing was that he was a producer and he produced for Pink Floyd and he produced Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it has a definite Pink Floyd vibe to it.
Yeah. So this was after that, and he was kind of trying to establish himself as an artist himself.
Wow. Well, that's great. This is what we had.
Boy, did he.
These are all songs that I would get in trouble for jumping on my bed to. The title of this episode should be AKA songs that I would get in trouble for jumping on my bed to. Okay, great. Let's take a break and we'll be back with our number one picks. All right, and we are back. And Joe, how it works is since you're our guest, you're going to be our big grand finale. Megan and I will choose ours. And maybe we'll throw in some honorable mentions here. But let's just go into our number one picks.
Okay, my number one pick, it's got like a...
That was my number one pick.
Wow. I mean, I'm
going to on the sly try to pretend like it wasn't, but that's like, I think that's just definitively like the best one.
Yeah.
Well, so let's all talk about it. And Joe, if you have any others, we'll just talk about honorable mention. This happens a lot. So.
That also just means that is the best one. I mean, like this is like, it's by Queen. It's a real song.
I also have questions about it.
People. They did release We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions as one single in 1977. And so that is what a lot of sports teams use.
And is that allowed? That's just because, on the radio, I remember hearing, both of them back to back.
They play them back to back. Yeah. They do. I mean, so it depends on, I guess, what rock station you're listening to. But that's sometimes there are songs that are packaged like that, especially when there's like a thematic connection the way there is.
Yeah, it's not like a mashup that made popular.
But I mean, that this has one of the hallmarks, and we kind of talked about this already, but like the fact that the people in the stands can be involved and it's not complicated at all, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel simplistic. You can boom, boom, clap, and everyone knows how to do that. And you can do it without the song. That happens sometimes at like baseball games where it just says like on the Jumbotron, like boom, boom, clap. Yeah. And everyone knows to get on rhythm.
Get hype.
I have not seen the movie.
Oh boy!
Yeah, is there some hilarious like biopic?
This scene,
origin of this
there
song?
Is a scene.
This scene
oh
is like it is like famous it's in that.
One of the more embarrassing biopics, because it's just so on the nose with everything, and the performances are really over the top. And Rami Malek has like very silly fake teeth to play Freddie Mercury. But yeah, there is
called?
A scene where they're like, okay, so what I want everyone to do is, okay, now take your foot and stomp. Now stomp, stomp. Yes, all right. Now, and they're like, huh? They like look like they're apes. They're like, huh? What do we? Yes, now we do stomp and then we clap. And it's just like, this is.
And then that's how one of the greatest songs of all time was written.
That's how they saved the Playhouse, because they won the contest for $80,000. We Will Rock You into We Are the Champion. Well, so I guess my pick wasn't We Will Rock You. It was, I wrote down We Are the Champions, and then I was going to ask. I actually had written down We Are the Champions.
So that's your number one pick.
So I guess that is
they're
a different.
They're two separate songs.
Yeah. But did they came out both on News of the World? That's the album? No. Yeah, News of the World.
Yeah.
I think it was the name.
Yeah, that's on News of the World. And
they're
then
back to back.
It's almost like a double A-side when they released the single.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, it's hard to beat. Played at the end of, I used to think, end of just Mighty Ducks 2, but both 1 and 2, even though they didn't win a championship in the first one. So
I don't, I you know, I haven't seen that movie in a long
time. Just chime in, Joe. What do you think?
They're bringing that back, though, as we know.
Yep, it looks disappointing. But hey, that's it. We're not critiquing other people's art here.
Yeah, art. This Mighty Ducks reboot, one of the great examples of modern art.
Post-movie era art.
Yeah, let's keep it in context, if you don't mind.
Do we want to talk honorable mentions then?
Yeah, I mean, I love Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That's like another good like starter, like the game's going to start.
Yeah.
Because like, it's the way it begins, it's and it kind of ramps up.
Or they do it before, when the crowd needs to be reminded to get hype, like for in the last like minute of a game, that's a good example. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that'll take a dead audience and get them back to where you need them.
Man, we're all really a bunch of just like zombies who could be
zombie nation.
We're zombie nation, and we could be awoken by a good stadium anthem.
One that it has sort of like a famous thing that happens around it now is Jump Around. They like will play that at, I think it's Wisconsin that did it first, but now it's a lot of places. They'll play that, and then like the whole stadium dances and jumps around.
Yeah. They'll play it in Happy Gilmore. I mean, it is in Happy Gilmore.
CJ, what are some honorable mentions for you?
I mean, I don't like this song. I mean, when it came out, I loved it. But Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes is like maybe one of the biggest of the last decade.
Also a big comedy club song.
That's so weird.
Really?
Yeah. Or maybe, I feel like they would always play that CYSK.
A Midwest Comedy Club for sure is using this.
Because it's like, because I've definitely been performing at places and, you know, didn't sell a lot of tickets. And then like that song would come on and it's like, oh, you're
to eight people.
You're really overselling. Yeah. Like it's such a jarring like feeling to hear that in just a sad, empty room where you have to make people that have the opposite political opinion as you laugh.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of like college bands will play.
Yeah, I broke up a little bit.
No, you're okay.
But that song, I feel like kind of took over for Rock and Roll Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had to let Rock and Roll Part 2 go for, you know, the reasons I illustrated earlier. But the Seven Nation Army is so popular, I think especially with like football clubs in the UK,
mm-hmm.
that they just start to sing it by themselves, like without anybody telling them to do it. They just kind of, because that's another one where you can just be like, oh, and everybody just gets on board. Like it, especially in the UK, I think is a huge deal.
Yeah, it feels kind of tribal, like a tribal chant.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, like scary in the sense of
when
that many people
all right,
are
that's
doing
been our
it,
episode.
No,
no. Megan's been canceled.
Did your no? That's not what I meant. Did your high school have like a football hype song?
I mean, it usually was just kind of a hip hop song. It was never like anything that we pulled from like the greatest hits. I can't remember.
Bring them out, bring them out.
That's was probably like one of them for sure. Yeah.
Ours was We Ready.
Yeah.
And then there were hoodies. So I did not get one, but people sold hoodies with We Ready in very weird font.
Yeah, that makes sense. You have a high schooler pick a font.
Yeah, it's like blue. It almost looked like that font, not that like a bear did, you know, but slightly
like a
less
claw mark?
Animal, slightly less animal, uh-huh. And then blue.
That doesn't add up.
All right, let's do greatest fonts. We have some time. Let's do greatest fonts.
Helvetica. Another honorable mention is, I know we talked about Rock and Roll Part 2. Mm-hmm. There's Song 2 by Blur.
Mm, that's a great one.
And which Woo-hoo! One is that? Oh, Woo-hoo! Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fun. That's all you need is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's an interesting one. We talked about, like, you know, Todd Rundgren has like this whole other career. Blur has an entire, you know, career that with a lot of great songs. But yeah, that's especially in America, nobody knows Blur except for the sports song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw Thunderstruck on a lot of lists. That feels like of a different time, though. You know, like if they played Thunderstruck at the Staples Center right now, I don't know if it would get popped.
It feels arena football-y to me.
Mm, yeah. Okay. I saw the, speaking of arena football, I saw the LA Kiss when they were still around.
Wow. I regret not seeing that. What was your experience like?
It's hysterical. There's a live hard rock cover band on pretty much on the field.
Yeah.
Like they're a little bit on the sidelines, but they play music. But really more than that, there's the songs they play on the PA system, it gets more, that's really more of the songs that are playing. Every time the LA Kiss scores, they play Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss on the PA. And
you score a lot in arena football, like a lot.
They played it 21 times.
No!
I'm not kidding you, because they would do it for the touchdown and they would also do it for the extra point.
Wow. Oh my God. Wow.
And the best was they scored a touchdown. They played it. And then they were like, we have to review it. We've reviewed it. The call stands. And they played it.
I love that.
That's awesome. Why didn't that stay in business? Who were they playing? They were playing other like real named teams or what?
No, arena football's that real. I mean, not that real named. I'm writing a movie about an arena football team. Mm-hmm. And it's, don't steal that idea, listeners. And it's, they're all silly. Like Gene Simmons
to answer
is probably
your question,
the realist.
They weren't playing like the Milwaukee Van Halens.
Yes.
Right.
They weren't,
Bon Jovi owns a team. When we were in Chicago, Mike Ditka owned a team. Like there's no UN ambassadors that own arena football teams. It's silly people.
Yeah. But the gall to name the team after your band, only Gene Simmons did that.
I love it. Thank you, Gene, and his passion for arena sports. There was one other song I wanted to say before we go. I don't even know if it's a stadium song or just I'm just naming songs in my head, but it goes, oh, the place to stay.
Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day. I think that's the name of it. Something. Make my day.
That might just be like a personal playlist at
yeah, I don't United think that's Center. A sports song.
but that's a jock jam.
Yeah.
Oh, pump the jam. Pump
the jam.
It up.
Yeah.
But little.
Yeah. I would say we didn't actually touch on a lot of the classic literal jock jams, like from the CD.
Well, that's
like,
good.
I like to move it.
Yeah, y'all ready for this?
Oh,
y'all ready
for
this?
This
is a great one.
Woo! Yeah, the Mortal Kombat theme is also a big one.
Yeah, that's almost what I just did. Like they're very, very similar.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I think this ended up being a great episode. We had a little bit of debate in the beginning, and that episode that you pitched to us would have been great too. That we found in the first.
We
half.
Just didn't know. I was like, I'm just gonna have to pick songs and pretend I like them because I don't.
Right.
Like, I listened to the Colt song. It was like, this is our house. It was a song I've truly never heard, and it's like, I have been accused of being mentally ill about the Colts. There's no way a song slipped past me that's anything. You know, like, it just wasn't real.
And there really is nothing with the Colts like that would be played on Indianapolis radio?
The only song that I can think of, it's Naptown Riders. That's like a song, like Who the Best Riders. And no one else has ever heard that song. And it wasn't sporty in any way. And I thought it was a like a song played elsewhere, like that Steeler song. And no one else knows what it is. And they didn't even play that at Pacers or Colts games.
Yeah.
So we don't really have, you know, Babyface is from Indy, and that's really all we have.
Yeah, way more people than Babyface.
I'm talking about like musically.
Music. I feel like we can.
Yeah,
think of
I off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody.
And you know a lot, Joe. So
yeah, I would like to think I do.
All right, well, Joe, what can we plug for you? You have an awesome music podcast.
Yeah, so I think obviously the reason why I did a music-focused version of your show was because I have a music podcast that is not just about music, but we look at artists through the lens of the weird institution called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And my podcast is called Who Cares About the Rock Hall? And it's a lot of fun. We have people on the show to talk about artists they love, and then if we think they have a shot at getting inducted, and if they will, when will that happen, who would induct them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And me and you, we texted about this. We both were booked on podcasts to talk about the awful Cleveland Cavaliers Rock and Roll Hall of Fame themed jerseys, which
what a
really had to do some research to figure out what they were trying to do.
Yeah. When that first, because the Cavaliers have they did one letter of Cavaliers for and it each corresponded to a different band, but like me that would be able to tell, I had to like really dig deep to find out what they were doing and what any of these bands were. It was a mess and it looks terrible.
Amazing. Incredible. I'm surprised CJ doesn't own it. I'm surprised he didn't wear it at our wedding.
There's no players I really, really love on
that
team.
That's all that's holding him back.
I wore a Sean Kemp jersey instead that weekend. Anyways, you can find me at CJ Toledano on everything, Megan.
And Megan at MeganGeary.com.
Are you okay?
You can find
me. All right?
You can find me at MeganGeary.com. And to answer your question, no, I'm not all right.
She's not all right. Everyone, please be safe, wear a mask. And yeah, we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.